busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train. A steel is faded as my jeans. Bobby found a diesel down just before it rained. That rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana, and I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Yeah. Windshield wipers slapping timers, holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Gabby knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, and feeling good was easy, love. Bobby sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby McGee. From the Kentucky coal mines to the California sun, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather and through everything that we've done, so Bobby, baby, he kept me from the cold. One day up near Salinas, snow, I let him slip away. But he was looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. But I trade all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday, to be holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. Feeling good was easy, Lord. Bobby sang the blues. I said, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby McGee. La da da, la da da da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da, Bobby McGee. La da da, la la da da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da, Bobby McGee. La da 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 da, la da da na 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 na, Bobby McGee. La da da, la da da na 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 na. Hey, in the Babylon, the Bobby McGee, yeah. Hell, I call him my lover. I call him my man. I said, I call him my lover. I do the best I can. I said, come on, Babylon. Come on, Bobby McGee, yeah. Lord, 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 Lord. Hey, 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 Bobby McGee, yeah.
Hey everybody, it's Monday night, and here
it's,
we are.
It's not Monday.
Oh wait, it's not Monday night. I'm at home, so I think it's Monday night. yeah, it's Thursday night.
Yeah.
So we're rocking the Thursday show from my house rather than. My wife found some noise to make. Jesus.
It's a delicious taco.
15 or 20 seconds in before there's just a
death. Delicious taco.
Yeah. We still have this problem. Well, first of all, I fucked around and accidentally left my laptop at home, because I had brought it home to do the show with Scully. But you still have that problem with whenever the laptop has power.
Is it happening here?
The show has buzz. No, because it only happens if there's a lot of, like,
are you sure?
Wire. Yes. We do not have the same level of buzz.
Well, right, but if you did the same thing at the office with just two headsets plugged in, would you have no buzz? Yes. And are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Because I'm thinking that maybe you just have it at the office. Maybe there's something wrong with
Wrong with the electricity at the office.
Yeah, it's not. I'm guessing it's not grounded at all, which would cause all kinds of horrible buzz.
So you're guessing that it does think that the garbage disposal sounds like Chewbacca taking a shit?
Yes. Okay. Wow, that is obscure.
Yes, indeed. I think maybe we're a little loud on the mics, but although Lixia says great Vox levels for both of us.
Oh,
so
okay.
Right. Vox is what Jewish people put on their bagels.
Bagels?
Yeah.
I think you mean bagels.
Oh, yeah. Bagels, yeah. That would have been better. So it's just going to be me and my droog. That is hot stuff tonight. So we should figure out what the fuck's going on with the electric cons at the office.
I agree. That's just my theory. I don't really know. We can look outside and see if the ground is actually plugged into some sort of rod.
We can look outside and see if the ground is underneath the office.
Yeah.
Because I think it is. I would not be surprised if there was shoddy electrical work there. We've had all kinds of problems with the... with just, like, circuit breakers getting overloaded with very little stuff plugged into them and shit like that. And
we use a tremendous amount of electricity
building,
in the house,
the entire building just bursting into flames for no reason. Unexpectedly. We've had to rebuild the office in its own image. Well, luckily, we live in a town where buildings regularly rise from their own ashes.
Yes.
Get it? Because of the Mesa. That legendary bird.
Table.
Yeah. All right, we're going to table these dumb jokes for the time being. So I had an interesting experience. So a while back, I bought The Witcher for the PC, and it was not very good. It was not very good, and I was like, okay, this game is not very good. It's like an MMO with clunky combat, and because it's the American version, it doesn't even have boobs.
What? Really?
No. Yeah.
The British version has boobs?
It's not. It's like Polish. It's like native. All right. So the it's based around like a series of novels or whatever that are Polish originally.
Okay.
Like a character. He's a witcher. He witches things. And the game has this little sort of mini game where you are rewarded for sexual conquests with like little trading cards with naked pictures of the girls.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing you can get away with in an American port. Anyway, the game was just not particularly fun. Right?
Oh, because you'd have to sell it at a much higher maturity level. Right?
You'd have to sell it at adults only if it had boobs in it, and nobody
adults
buys.
Adults only with boobs?
Yeah.
You know. Our morality system is just so screwed up.
Remember when PG movies had tits in them?
Yeah.
And you could say shit a couple of times and
it would be okay.
And it would be okay in a PG movie.
Do you remember when the ratings didn't list every sort of instance of stuff that was putting it into that category?
Yeah.
A drug reference, four times they say bad words, and they hint at sexuality.
Yeah.
R.
Anyway, so the company that made the game, they were like, hey, sorry, this game kind of sucked, but we've got this huge content patch, a lot of fixes, some extra quests thrown in, a lot of, some interface changes, dramatic improvements to the game after sale, which is cool.
Right.
I like that precedent.
Sure.
Right? So I was like, hey, one of these days I'm going to download that. And yesterday I decided it was going to be that day. I was like, I don't have anything to do tonight. I'll play some new The Witcher.
Yeah.
So I installed it off of the DVD that I'd bought many months ago. And then I went to the website and had to go to some Polish file mirror to download it. No fucking idea,
right.
What was going on there. So I go to download the patch. It's like 900 megs. So it took 2 hours to download the patch.
Right.
Then I went to install the patch, and it was like, you have to install the language pack. So I'm like, oh, okay, that won't be a big deal. So I go to download the language pack, 500 megs. So another hour.
Wow.
So I went to sleep. And then I got up this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. Going to apply this patch. I go to apply the patch. It's like, you have to have the language pack downloaded. I'm like, okay. So I go to run the language pack, and it's like, you have to patch the game before you can install the language pack. And I'm like, what the son of a bitch? So then I went, and some random stranger on the internet had to have that same problem. And it turns out that the file has to be the exact name that they gave it at the studio, the language pack file, and some of the download mirrors had just changed the name. Like, they'd removed a single underscore.
Weird.
From the name for whatever reason. So renaming the file allowed that to run. So the patch process started and popped up a window that said, currently modifying files. This process could take up to 2 hours. So I went to work.
Did it finish while you were there?
Yeah. So maybe someday I'll play The Witcher and I'll report on whether the new expanded enhanced edition of The Witcher is good.
Do you think the publishers got a trading card with a picture of you on it because they conquested you?
Could be. It could be. They definitely fucked me out of those hours of my. You know, it's not like I was just sitting there tapping my fingers on the desk waiting for the download to finish.
That's good.
I actually got some. It's weird, man. We're so much work is getting done that I don't constantly feel like I have to be doing work. And it's like, yeah. I've got free time and I don't know what to do with it.
We saw Xenophobe today.
Oh, yeah.
He stopped by the office to pick up some.
Swung by the office to get some mail and a giant glass jar.
Well, I think it's like his brewing.
Yeah, it was
a brewing
bunch
kit.
Of beer brewing equipment. Never did anything with it. So, yeah. That was unexpected.
Yeah.
C.D. Moyer is still
proceeding
busily,
at a pace.
Busily working down his list of shit to do.
His ever expanding
list keeps getting bigger. I need to take it easy on that for a week or so.
Yeah.
Or not. He told me he made the mistake in my kitchen of telling me, you know, the number of items that I have on there is probably going to determine how much time I allot in a given week to work on stuff, so maybe you're better off assigning a lot of stuff to me, because then it's more likely that more stuff will get done. So.
Yeah, we need to edge out all his other clients.
All his other freelance clients, yeah. We should find out who they are and just, like, burn their buildings down, yeah.
Well, hopefully they're not in a city where the buildings also spontaneously regrow in ashes.
Because that would suck. That would be a lot of work.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. I went and picked up the Sonic the Hedgehog RPG. Very much in the spirit of Super Mario RPG. It's got that kind of colorful setting with cutesy characters and straightforward RPG fighting action. I never really played any Sonic games, so not totally aware.
I never played one in more than like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Not totally aware of what is iconic about Sonic games, except for the rolling up into a ball, which you do when you attack people, and the collecting golden rings, which you do as currency. It's a 3D game on the DS.
It was a platformer originally,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was just sort of faster paced than most normal platformers.
Yeah, and I was, because of that, I was very bad at it. I don't think that I ever played more than a level or two, because I was just like, this is too hard, you know.
Like, I feel like I'm the kind of person who wants to stop and like explore everything.
Yeah,
so
I'm sort of frustrated to not be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, the RPG, I like the gameplay of it so far, but it's a 3D game on the DS, so it just looks like complete ass. Like, what I kind of want to do is I want to, you know, if I had a blog, one of the things that I would do on that blog is I would take a screenshot of combat in this game. There's this monster that is like a swarm of wasps, right? And I would take one of them, and I would do a pixel-for-pixel screenshot of it and blow it up and say, what era do you think that this comes from? Because this looks... what it looks like, the 3D technology behind it is so sort of primitive because it's on the DS, that it looks like those early... that period of time in the arcades when everybody was like, hey, it's a good idea to digitize photos of real things and put them in the game. You know, like that Pit Fighter game or whatever. And Mortal Kombat, to some extent, but Mortal Kombat, at least all the backgrounds and stuff were painted or you know, pixel art and kind of stylized. And,
right.
And they were... The digitization results of the... you know, photographs of the people were so heavily altered and so heavily stylized that it actually looked good, arguably. But this looks like that, only it looks like somebody just took a picture of like a wad of brown paper with a couple of wings sticking out of the side of it. It is seriously just like, you would have no idea what the fuck this thing was if it didn't say wasp swarm under it when you started the game, right? Like, I don't understand why they didn't just do the game in 2D. It would be so much better with sprite art. They would already have this huge stock of art to draw from if they had done it that way.
People don't think that you can make like an RPG these days without it being in 3D, you know? It's so much of the discussion at Austin GDC was like, how do I get my 3D game off the ground or whatever, you know, like, or how do I model characters or whatever. It was all that kind of thing, you know, and It's just a mindset thing, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, I don't get it, though. Because, you know, like, you look at Konami, and they're just going to keep making tons of money making 2D Castlevania games that are awesome, and yeah. People like us are just going to keep singing the praises of them. Maybe they're not popular, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't have a good sense. I mean, that's the other, like, just because we don't like a game or we think it's bad doesn't mean it doesn't sell well or something, right. You know?
Yeah. Because the plebs, they don't know from good.
You know,
see, the thing is, we have a much better view of the pixels from atop our ivory tower. Anyway, it's frustrating. Like, the thing that strikes me about this Sonic game is that I really wish that I was playing the game on the minimap, because the minimap is like a nicely pixel-for-pixel constructed picture of the environment, a representation of the environment, you know? Or do, you know, try and master that, like, pseudo-3D shit that, like, Diablo 2 did. You know, because you get some...
It was isometric, right?
But they did some perspective stuff, right? They did some, like...
Something, yeah.
Equivalent of Mode 7 stuff, so that when you walk past buildings, they popped a lot more than they would have. I mean, you know, Diablo 2 looks kind of crappy, honestly. Like, if the gameplay of Diablo 2 wasn't so good, I would have nothing but bad things to say about that.
The visuals.
Stoked about Diablo 3. I listened to the most recent episode of BlizzCast. And actually the previous one that I had missed, it was divided into three sections. I had heard the first one, which was just the guy who made the music for World of Warcraft 2, which it was interesting to hear him talk, because, you know, he had specifically talked about some stuff, the Blood Elf starting zone music from the Wrath of the or from the Burning Crusade expansion that was just really awesome. I think that somebody's... Wow, that was weird. My wife's phone from across the room rang and created that GSM interference in the earpiece. I could hear it. I don't know if that went out on the mic or not. Hope not. And if it did, that sucks.
It seems only affects speakers, right?
Yeah, it's like unshielded. You know what Nightmare said? I have a couple of sets of speakers that when I adjust the volume, it makes these horrible, like, statics. And he says that that's also a result of improperly shielded cables.
I would have guessed that had to do with...
The physical switch. Like,
or the potentiometer that's changing the...
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah. anyway, the second part of the three-part BlizzCast was about the... I wish that you would listen to this so that
you can. Well,
the guy whose last name is LeCraft or something like that,
right?
Who designed the crafting system, is the sort of in charge of the crafting systems in World of Warcraft, and it was interesting to hear him talk about, like, you know, why they changed things, which things they feel like worked and which things they feel like they went too far on, and you know, like, what they're trying to do to make crafting interesting and fun. It's a little strange to think about crafting systems in MMOs. Like, I have some ideas for what I would do if I was designing a crafting system for, like, a real MMO. And part of the problem is that I think everybody gets stuck in this mindset that crafting is a skill that you have to level up, right? So as a skill that you have to level up, there's this sense of progression.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't make any sense for you to level it in any other way than using it, right? Or does it? I mean, maybe that's a flawed basic
assumption. I feel like you could have a, you know...
You could do some research, or you could seek out trainers.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you can definitely learn by watching other people do stuff. I mean, there are other systems, you know. You could go to a trainer. You could level up by learning a recipe.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
We should do some of that. I'm not wrong when I say that C.D. Moyer wrote stuff. He wrote in a feature for us to be able to put in recipes that you can only
use once.
You can only craft if you know if you have the discovery. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And we should. I feel like that's probably something that we should limit to kind of high end.
Oh, yeah, I would assume. But I mean, you could also do it as part of a quest or something, too. I don't think that would be, you know, something that you can't make early would be fine. Although, I guess we're not ever going to have people unlearn discoveries, so it wouldn't really have any bearing on the Ascension game.
So there's all these problems in most MMOs crafting setups, because the only way that you level up your crafting to get to make them more interesting stuff at higher levels is by just making a bunch of lower level shit. So the
it causes weird economic problems.
Yeah, the crafting disciplines that don't create anything consumable. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like we would have the same problem with meatsmithing in KOL, because it, you know, I mean, we theoretically made meatsmithing yields consumable when we introduced pulverize. That was the point
right.
of introducing pulverize. But in you know, that looks good in theory.
In practice, they're not really consumable.
Consumed. you know, which I would say that definitely there are more meatsmithing recipes than any other craft in KOL, and that's because I like the idea of, you know, making cool weapons and stuff, because that's like, it's a lot more interesting than like a salad. It's not as funny, but it's a lot more interesting to make, you know, super magic power sword X or whatever than it is like, oh, here's some, you know, spaghetti with skull heads or whatever.
Right.
Not that spaghetti with skull heads aren't cute. You know, they had something interesting that the guy was talking about in the World of Warcraft one. For those of you who are familiar with World of Warcraft, this kind of makes sense. Giving blacksmiths, they're talking about giving blacksmiths the ability to add sockets to any weapon.
Even socketed weapons?
I don't know about that. I mean, I guess that...
Like, would it be something that once you do it, it's soul-bound to you? Like, is it one of those, like, this is the benefit that blacksmiths get?
I don't know.
Because I can see that being a pretty significant benefit for being a blacksmith.
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't say, you know. I would imagine it's not at all finalized yet. Is the,
right.
the reason he didn't give a lot of details on it. But, yeah. Since we don't have the problem of you having to level up crafting, we've got a whole different, you know. And also, we take a very sort of exploratory route.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, you learn, you know, it's basically entirely recipe acquisition in most MMOs, right? Because you can't make anything that you don't know the recipe for. There's not really any room for experimentation. Warhammer seems to be playing with it a little bit. Their potion crafting is interesting. You put in a vial, you get like a little screen. You put in a vial, and then you put in a main ingredient, and then you have three slots where you can add additional ingredients.
Right.
And when you put it in there, there's this little like stability meter. It's like either the recipe definitely won't work. It has in practice after launch, what it seems like is this could only be true at the very low levels of potion making. But either this recipe isn't going to work. This will result in an unstable potion, or this is stable. This recipe will definitely succeed.
Yeah.
Right. You add water to potions to make them more
stable.
There are herbs that you can buy or grow that you can put into it that make it so you get more than one potion out of the crafting attempt, and there are ones that you can use to increase the duration of buffing potions, and presumably there are...
Is each potion then a unique...
Yeah.
Do they stack?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, potions of the same type stack.
But I mean, a potion that has a duration of 10 minutes versus a duration of 5 minutes...
Yeah, it's two different potions.
Wow, that's...
They have different names. I mean, and the thing is, I feel like if you're making them in general, you're going to be making a bunch of the same one. You know.
But then that means that, you know, if you find potions or if somebody gives you potions, it's going to be like 8 different stacks in your inventory. If they're all different.
It's goofy. But, you know, it is interesting the flexibility that it affords to the crafting discipline, right?
Sure. There are going to be times when you value one thing over another, like really potent or really long-lasting or whatever. You know?
You can crit and make a, like... What it seems like it was doing was making a potion that was one tier higher in effectiveness. It had, like, a different picture, which was interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, so... and then there was the talisman crafting, which is... They only have consumables crafting. There are only two crafting disciplines in Warhammer. They did not ever add any gear crafting. And I don't know if it's just because they decided they didn't want to deal with the problems that every other MMO has in making gear crafting interesting to people and not, you know, not...
I feel like gear crafting is kind of interesting. It's just...
Well, it's either useless or it's broken, right? I mean, that seems to be... It's hard to come up with it. In a game with no real progression, right? It's hard to
I feel like you apply the same principles that you just applied to alchemy to gear crafting, and you've got a lot of potential, right?
But then nobody wants anything except the crits. They do that in Lord of the Rings Online, and I feel like that's kind of the problem that arises there, is that nobody wants anything except the best possible outcome for a level 2 shirt or whatever, you know, or like
right.
a level 20 shirt, right? And you're just not going to be able to sell anything that isn't that.
Well, so then you don't put those in the system, but you put in 5 different varieties of something that will appeal to different play styles or different...
Sure, I mean, the ability to add different enchantments to them by, you know, soaking them in different varieties of boar urine or whatever.
Right.
I was pleased to note that in the Sonic game, the first level has you fighting a lot of boars.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yep. Nothing, Oh, good. Good. Pastafari, who was I thought he was the DJ because he was mirroring a stream for Lixia. He had told me about a place to buy cigars online that I had forgotten the name of, and when I looked at my screen just now, he had PM'd me the name of the name of the website. Yeah. You want to answer some questions?
Sure. I'm doing this show courtesy of my iPhone.
All he ever does is fuck with this iPhone. I'm glad that he waited so long to get one because. I had an actual friend around for that whole time. Now I just have a guy that hangs around tapping on a little data pad in his lap.
Soon I'll be able to get my iPhone to talk for me, so it'll be great. I'll just mount it where my voice box was.
Commander Wiggin says, "Why is the MacGuffin quest so damn long? It's because the enemy's gate is down." Let's see that.
Where are you Madison starting this list of questions?
In the bathroom. Some of these did get. Hellback asks, and a lot of people have also asked for this. Collapse all option for discoveries section. One of these days, I'm going to actually look at the account menu, and I'm going to say, "Jesus Christ, this is a mess, and needs a visual revamp." Les Spector, yeah, okay, Hellback. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I feel like we could either tie it to the collapse all in inventory by default, which I don't know. I don't know if that feeds into the same desire enough that
people,
that it could just be the same feature. Yeah.
I definitely think I'd prefer having all sections collapsed in general.
Yeah.
Because it's you pretty much know what you want, and it's so much easier to just look at headings and pick that up. But for new players, I think it should default to the other.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's frustrating that like, there's a definite distinction between like what you want somebody's first experience of an interface to be, and what you know their preferences will be once they've used it for a while, and having to force them to make that jump on their own, you know.
You know what would help is a tips.
A pro tips?
Yeah. No, I mean a hint of the day thing when you log in. I definitely want to do that. I need to get, every once in a while I'll think of something and I'm like, oh yeah, we should put that on there. Just
if we forget to do it for a while, it'd be a prolapse.
That's true.
Yeah. More like a tips lapse. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. I'm just going to let
time pass.
Let that sink in a little bit.
Where would
like
we put
really
it?
Cramming fortune cookies down people's throats.
Literally.
I think in the yellow exclamation points.
So just the first time that you log in, it would do
yeah.
it.
Sure. We might ought to reevaluate the yellow exclamation points, too, because I think there's probably... We didn't do anything with it at NS13, so there's probably times when you have quests that...
What do you mean we didn't? We updated it with the two quests that we put
in. Did we?
I'm almost positive we did. It was one of the last things we did.
I sure don't remember doing that.
I'm pretty sure it was done.
I also think that there are times when there is stuff for you to do that it doesn't know about.
That's possible.
That kind of thing.
When we roll out all 1,000 new quests that we have planned.
That's true.
Do that. There
yeah,
really
telling people,
quests.
You know, remember, eating and drinking gives you more adventures. You know, you can eat and drink at the same time. You totally can't. That's just a World of Warcraft tip.
If you have a multi-tip screen and you have both links at the same time,
I don't think that would work.
I don't think that would work either.
But yeah, you know, and then just telling them many game interface options can be customized from the account menu. That we're just sending newbies to the account menu to be completely fucking overwhelmed.
It's not that bad.
I know. I think that there are definitely some things that are probably not organized the way that I would organize them if I were doing it from scratch, right? And there's a lot of weird...
Do chat options not show up if you haven't unlocked the altar?
Oh, I don't know.
We could do stuff like that, where it's the account menu complexity unfolds as you unlock the things that it actually is meaningful for.
You know, breaking it down into just some sections, like, you'd go in and you could, you know, there'd be the... It is, I understand that it is broken down into sections, but, like, having it not be taller than the screen when you go to it.
We could have an account menu, where you could decide how you wanted your account menu to show up.
Yeah.
Like, have some preferences for the display of the account menu.
There are also, like, it's like, depending on what kind of mood Xenophobe and I were in when we added any given thing to the account menu, determined, like, whether it's a checkbox or, like, a link toggle. You know, like, and so there's a lot of stuff there. There's also, I feel like everything could have those help pop-ups.
Sure.
Right? You know, and that would just be, like, that would be a handy feature for that. I don't know. We should actually work on some content. All we've been doing is, interface stuff, and it's just, people are liking it, I guess. But yeah, we need to add some content. I haven't really drawn anything in forever. I did some artwork for the swamp.
Yeah.
I guess. That was
waiting on me a little bit.
A week ago. Yeah, but it's not really waiting on you. It's waiting on me to tell Scully to do some stuff, which I just haven't really done.
He did the first stuff.
Yeah, I know. So there's basically if I spent a couple of days, we would have a zone's worth of content and could get started on that.
We have some Mr. Stored content to update this week or this weekend. October 6th, I think.
Oh, yeah, that isn't really content.
That's true.
I don't count that as content. It's just,
we have to think of stuff, though.
Yeah, that's just going to be Scully saying, hey, draw this ridiculous thing, and me saying, okay. Hey, Hot Stuff, animate this ridiculous thing. That looks like crap.
Right,
I know. I know. This, I fucking
crap.
I don't like October. I'm so happy with the ones that are in there now. You know, it's like it's gonna end up being another like unpopular set.
You think?
I don't know. It depends. It depends on what Scully ends up with. I guess I'm not super fond of the Casanova. The Hunchback guy is awesome. The way that ended up looking, I was really pleased with.
Yeah.
TexMurph says, so it'd be kind of interesting to have in-game polls on various topics. Favorite familiars, areas, monsters, yada, yada, yada. Done on the forums, annoying as hell. Done in-game, T.
Okay. I'm guessing that got cut off. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. Something that was really annoying to me about the Warhammer beta was constantly having surveys thrown up at me when I was trying to not get ass raped by the forces of chaos. LeSpectre says, don't get rid of the ability to see familiars in Bad Moon. People really like that feature. Yeah, but it's I think people really like that bug is the problem.
What do you mean?
We did not give people the ability to see what familiars they have in Bad Moon. We just forgot to hide them in the Equip Your Familiars page.
Oh.
So, like, I would not mind having a link.
We can gray them all out or something.
Yeah. Nobody cares about narrative. Zach68 says, Honky Donk Bonokadonk is a song by Trace Adkins. I can't believe you guys didn't know that. Meh. Who the fuck is Trace Adkins?
Yeah, I've never heard of Trace Adkins.
Linguini Lad says, so, Jake, I'm under the impression that the October item of the month is going to be McDonald's themed, since you said I'm loving it. It better not be a cheesy McMuffin quest. Ba-dum-bum-ch. Hey, remember that guy you mentioned that had the 4-foot-wide face disorder thing? I bet his friends call him Hey Arnold. Yeah. Glitterboy says, did you ever explore the abandoned pickle factory that inspired the Spectral Pickle Factory? I never explored an abandoned pickle factory.
Also, are there such things as pickle factories?
I don't know.
I can imagine cucumber processing plants.
I think in the there was that picture in the Quest for Schlitz game is where that came from.
Uh-huh.
There was a picture of a thing that was a pickle factory, I think. There's a photograph. I think I just did a Google search for pickle factory.
I mean, there's those years ago. Bottling places. Okay, here's a question. Are they pickles before they bottle them? Do you think they just put them in brine and shift them out? And when you open them, they're pickles, but when they go in there, they're cucumbers?
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, because how could they... I mean, it takes, like, years to pickle cucumbers.
It doesn't take years. It takes weeks or months.
Weeks or months. Okay, but it takes longer than it takes to get a jar of pickles to a store.
Yeah, but you could pickle... You could put them in the jars, set them in your warehouse for a week, and then send them out. I mean, I don't know.
But then they're pickles when you send them out.
I don't know. Are you that's a question. Are you technically selling pickles or cucumbers at that point? Is it at the moment of creation that I guess it's at the moment of purchase that it becomes whatever it is, because like 12-year-old whiskey is just, you know, newborn whiskey when it goes into the bottle.
Did you see that there was a thing on Boing Boing today? This guy. It seems like this actually works, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, there was this ultrasound device that you put a bottle into, and in a half an hour, it, like, basically emulates the effect of aging the booze for years. And it seemed to have some sommelier support.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
What is happening during the aging process?
It said something about the ultrasound causes the... I feel like this makes no sense at all. But it was like it causes the alcohol molecules to bang into each other.
It does, I'm sure.
Yeah. But what does that mean? What does that do? Surely that's not what aging is. It's just Brownian motion in the liquid causing... alcohol, because it seems like you would have figured out that you could just shake it and it would taste better.
I thought a lot of that stuff was aged in barrels, and that it, part of it was the process of aging in some sort of wooden vessel.
Sure, some of it is, but some of it is also, I mean, leaving wine in a bottle on a shelf is done, obviously.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's...
But that doesn't necessarily get much better with age. I mean, there's a point at which wine just becomes vinegar, you know. Eventually the cork will dry out or whatever, you know.
Right. Well, not if you store it properly and the cork gets soaked with wine all the time.
I guess. Mm. I mean, but the wine was good to begin with in those cases, right?
Sure. Like, hey, man, don't shoot the messenger.
No, I don't know. I don't
shoot
know enough
Corey
about this.
Shoot Cory Doctorow if it doesn't work. Seems like the kind of thing they'd sell in Sky Mall.
I like Cory Doctorow too much to shoot Cory Doctorow.
I never explored an abandoned pickle factory. I explored an abandoned movie theater once.
That's not nearly as bizarre.
It was cool, though. I had a lot of fun doing that.
How long abandoned had it been?
Not too terribly long. It had been closed for, some single-digit number of years, I think. But it was an old theater. Yeah, I just went to the movie theater once at, like, 4 in the morning and broke in. No, it was a theater in Tucson that it was one of the, like, old school movie theaters that had a, you know, curtains and everything. Like, it was a big had a big stage, and somebody had knocked a big hole in the like front of the stage and put in a temporary set of stairs, like just sort of, because they had been working on dismantling it.
Uh-huh.
So most of the equipment was pulled out, but some of it was still left. It was crazy. There were all these like ridiculous control panels upstairs with those like Bakelite switches on and stuff. Like,
huh.
All this kind of rack mounted, very old like vacuum tube hardware. It was neat. We'd like sort of climbed up on the roofs of some buildings and like gone in through an unlocked door into the theater that led out onto the roof of a nearby building. Like, it was, I don't know who knew how to get in there.
I went when. There, I was in Iowa, sort of a strange mission at one point, and we were looking at a bunch of abandoned buildings, and there was a theater that had been damaged by some fire and had been left unattended for, I don't know, that 5-10 years or something like that, and there was, like, on the upper floor of this building, it was kind of awful. There was this door that you'd open, and, like, there were holes in the ceiling, and The ground was just covered in a layer of dead pigeons. It was so gross. Like that's just where all the pigeons would, like, come and live, and then when they died, they would just fall to the ground, and since there were no predators that were up there, they just, all the carcasses were there. It was so foul and so disgusting. Like, you know, the floor was, of course, also covered with, just a layer of bird crap as well, because of all the pigeons that were living there.
You'd think that the pigeons would stop hanging out there eventually.
Yeah, so. Maybe it doesn't affect them or whatever, but it was so gross.
And also the shit doesn't bother them, because birds always live in their own shit. Can't eat pigeons, because they don't have the sense to disregard their own feces.
Yeah.
You can't eat Tub Girl either.
Yeah. Wouldn't want to go there.
Tangerine Bear says, reminder should show up every time I look at the main map. I don't think that anybody agrees with you on that.
First time?
Yeah, it's only the first time, yeah.
I never used that.
Yeah. CDM added a new little feature to it that caused my reindeer messages to show up. I thought I was being clever. I thought I was being funny, but turned out I was being clever. Kevin B. says, don't get mad at Mr. Crack. Without people like him, you guys would have awesome jobs, and that's not fair for the rest of us. That's a good way of thinking about it, I guess.
Even with all of the critics, we still have awesome jobs.
No, our jobs are still pretty rule. Elementary Penguin says, documentary update! We're looking at having a finished product ready to send out on DVD by November 15th of this year. The rough cut of this final version should be done in 2 weeks. I'll keep you up to date for the next couple months so you don't give up on it ever happening, and to make sure that I finish it. Okay, well, now that I've read this on the air, Elementary Penguin, you've got a lot. Yeah, I just want to say, good luck. We're all counting on you.
We've looked up a bunch of possible places to get DVDs produced.
That is true. Did you actually do... I didn't even look.
Did some price notes.
You did? Okay, that's cool. What do you reckon we'll end up selling those for?
It depends
and it also depends on how much money we want to give to them.
I'm guessing that it will be at least $10.
The retail price will be at least $10? Oh, yeah. I would not have imagined it would be any cheaper than $10. Like,
I think we can get them made with cases and packaging materials for like $5 or $6, maybe. I'm not sure. It really depends on the quantity and whether we want to go for pressed or burned.
Right.
And there's a point at which, like, I don't think they do pressed in less than 1,000.
Right.
So that's burned has a much shorter shelf life according to all.
Yeah.
Sort of accounts, whatever.
1,000 is going to be rough.
1,000, I don't think we would ever sell it.
Yeah. And it's a huge initial outlay of doughs.
That is true.
I could give 5 copies to my mother.
That is also
true.
Then
we'd only have 995.
Yeah. I think we might end up getting more like 200 to 500.
Yeah,
that's true. Phoenix says we should give some copies to the Library of Congress.
We could put them in public libraries.
We could donate them to public libraries. That'd be fun to find.
We could try and take them back to Bookman's. That's true. Just hide them on the shelves at Best Buy, or replace like copies of like season 3 of Everybody Loves Raymond with.
No one would.
The document. Yeah,
that's what's weird.
LOTE says, hey, so trophy shining polish? I don't know.
I forget what that was.
Well, it was a meat sink, right? We were going to sell for like a million meat, like a bottle of trophy polish that would let you make any of your trophies
shiny.
Get the plexiglass effect on them. Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Bigglesworth says, is there some reason why the Dance with the Hobos adventures don't turn up in the Hobopolis chat while the tires, yodeling, etc. do? Yeah, because I hadn't told C.D. Moyer to fix that yet. Now he has! Yay, C.D. Moyer!
That's nice reading questions that we've already answered.
Yeah, I know. Wund says, best decade for music? I'm going to say 90s.
Yeah, 80s and 90s, probably. Depends on what you're in the mood for. And there's some good stuff.
I think everybody is always going to say, if you ask somebody what the best decade for music was, they were always going to say whatever decade they were a teenager in, yeah. I was looking at this interesting list. It was on Pitchfork Media. They released a list of the 100 best albums of the 90s, and I was surprised to find that number 4 was The Aeroplane Over the Sea, which leads me to want to listen to every other album on the list. There was like a bunch of, you know, there were like a bunch of Pixies
critics,
albums. Like,
critics' choices, I'm assuming, because there's no way that they're...
Yeah, there's no way that was a popular choice. Yeah, I don't actually know what Pitchfork Media is. But,
wow, that's great.
You know, another thing is, though, there's this...
it is such a good album.
Yeah, it really is.
What was number 1, 2, and 3? Do you remember?
I don't. OK Computer was number 1. Yeah. There was a lot of Radiohead on there. There was a lot of Pixies.
So that's our kind of music.
Tons of stuff that I had just never heard of.
Well, then let's get cracking.
Let's just start buying them. Starting at 100. There's some Outkast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you listened to Outkast?
I have not listened to much Outkast.
You should listen to the entire album because the albums are more interesting than the songs individually in a lot of cases. Like. Stankonia is kind of like a whole narrative going on throughout the whole album, you know.
Right.
So
it's like Frank Zappa's Joe's Garage.
No, it's not like that at all.
Snuffstyle 420 says, "Can we please have a link in the crafting sections back to the inventory?" Never mind, I found them all. They were hiding from me, just like Tom Cruise hides in the closet. You're thinking of R. Kelly.
They both hide in the closet and. In the South Park episode.
And he says...
Together.
While I'm at it, could the crafting link in compact mode be moved next to inventory?
In compact mode?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I felt like putting it next to quest was what to do, so that's where I did it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't fucking know, man. I just make shit up.
Oh, because originally we were going to have the discoveries in the quest log. I see where that comes from.
Okay, yeah. I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crafting revamp underwent a significant conceptual shift while CD Moir was in the middle of working on it. I feel like it's better. It's better for having made every change that I made. We are going to make it so having one-click crafting turned on causes the quantity and make as many as possible boxes to show up all the time, because so many people are getting their panties in a twist about that. A lot more people than I ever would have imagined, do a lot of stuff by just, like, tabbing, hitting enter.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I do a ton of that when I play 12 Sands, so I can understand, like, you know, once you've done something 50 times, you're going to try and figure out the quickest way to do it.
Wouldn't the quickest way be have some sort of bot do it for you while you made toast?
That's true. ChefBob27 says, "I'm so fabulous that I piss glitter."
How?
Yeah.
That stuff is dry.
Dev Joe says, "Actually, all the stuff from the cemetery with lick and ghoul in the names are misspelled, but none of the other stuff is. Even skeleton bones, which include the name of the monster." Yeah.
Which is weird, because skeleton is misspelled, but we don't misspell the item. Maybe you can get them elsewhere. Stuff that you can, like, find in other places, we tend to spell correctly, because it
would be
funny
otherwise. Yeah. Pastangum says, "Would it be unreasonable to list your current bounty hunt on the quest log? If so, why?" It could.
Can it keep track? It keeps track of which version of the quest you're on.
It could. It would have to be hard coded in the quest log, but it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Because it doesn't. They can't just get it directly from your flags or whatever.
No, it could. It's just there's not a.
It's not the same kind of quest.
The quest log is all based on there being a single. There's not like a quest table that gets updated. The quest log was tacked on much later, and it relies on there being a single flag tracking your progress through a quest.
Right.
There are a lot of things in it that like fake that in certain ways, like.
I mean, I think people would appreciate having absolutely everything that they're working on in one place, so they just have a single point of reference.
Yeah.
Do we, does the tutorial mention the quest log at all?
I don't know if he does or not.
We might want to add a little bit more
stuff.
Forget
what you're doing and check your quest log. I don't know if he does. I don't remember if that revamp happened after.
Was I talking to you about where, like, the whole notion of log comes from?
No.
Okay, I wasn't. So I was reading... Or I was watching some videos on YouTube about how longitude was discovered, and before not discovered, but like how they were able to calculate longitude sort of arbitrarily on ships. And before they had a reliable method, the way that they would sort of try to calculate where they were in the world was just by measuring how far they'd gone. And so the way they did that was they would tie a rope to a log, and then they would throw that log off the ship, and it would sort of float a certain distance away. They'd have the rope, you know, 50 knots in it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So knots were the speed that the speed that that they were coming from, the whole notion of knots is based on that thing, and they would record how many times they had passed the log had been pulled in and thrown out again in the log book. So it literally is from a log.
Weird.
Yeah.
The knots thing, if I had heard that story, I would have said that that was apocryphal.
No, no, it really, not like the when they say, you know, we're going 5 knots.
It just came to, it came to, they came up with a technical term for it that also jived with the nautical miles.
Yeah, but nautical is N-A-U-T, and knots are actually K-N-O-T.
Right, sure.
So.
But, I mean, it's like, it's like, oh yeah, you know, we used to say it was 5 clicks away because we would carry a beetle in our pocket that was known to click its jaws every 45 seconds, you know, and then they just happen to start referring to kilometers as clicks, right? Like, that just seems weird to me. I mean, if you had just read that on the internet somewhere, I would have said it was bullshit. Like,
because you saw it
on the internet in a video. But I mean, was it like a documentary?
Yeah.
I mean, was it like a History Channel thing, or was it...
It was... I don't exactly know what... It was some dude that was, like, sort of... It was, like, a homemade kind of documentary-type thing, but it was very... Like, I had seen a bunch of stuff about this, and it was all in line with everything. It was just... That was one little factoid that was thrown in.
Huh. So, like, the whole logging in to anything is...
I wonder if... Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that came from the use of a log, like a manifest, you know, kind of thing.
Huh, so we should just take a heavy stick with us and never hit it on the keyboard to log in.
Yeah.
That's great.
Speak
softly, but carry a big stick so that you can log in.
Les Spector says, are all of the models on the merch page friends and family of the staff? Any names we might recognize? They're all people we know. Yeah,
they're
a lot of them are local friends of the Pretentious Artist. The Pretentious Artist is one, his wife. Me and my wife are in the black Sabretooth Lime shirts.
And then there's a bunch of people that I know from Boston.
Yeah, a bunch of Stuff's old housemates from Fuzzle Faggot Ridge.
And their friends. And some of my friends from there.
Yeah. There are a number of people on... There are a handful of people that I don't know by name, at least, but not for the most part. There's a lot of crossover in the Fuzzy Balls Apparel models, too. And then Les Spector also says, what's the best Halloween costume for a baby? I had suggested a pig with an apple in its mouth.
Yeah. I think Mrs. Skullhead is planning on dressing up her baby as a little Yoda.
Huh. NC Sorcerer says, Jick, I notice you're still keeping the 2008 calendars in the store. Might be a decent idea to still offer prints of the 2008 art after the month is up. There's some pretty amazing art there. I don't know how we would do that.
Yeah,
though.
That would be tricky.
Some of them are incredibly low res.
Yeah, that's the problem.
We don't have prints of them. We just have the calendar, you know.
We could have... Well, I don't know. We didn't really... You know, we sort of agreed to print the calendar, and then that was sort of the only agreement we came to with the artists.
Yeah. So I would feel weird about selling prints and not, you know, we said that they gave it... the contract might have said we can use it for whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah.
But I would feel really skeezy about selling them as pieces of art and not giving the artists back for it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Madison14 says, can you have the captain of the Gourd tell you how many cans, lids, /spiderwebs/firecrackers you have in your inventory? That's probably not a bad idea.
Huh. Are you actually recording these?
I'm not.
Okay. I can't do it.
I know, because your iPhone is made of fail.
Well, I could... No, I can't copy and paste. That is a failure.
Yeah. Although now I'm going to have to just put these in like a
buffer.
Yeah.
You can do the one about the bounty hunting thing.
Yeah, that was who?
Pastangum.
Pastangum. Had a bad case of...
Spleen Master asked if we could make, after it summoned me flies, make it gray out after you've used it during combat.
We could if I knew how any of that worked.
Well, but somebody could, right?
Yeah, sure. The backup is running, and so everything is slow as balls. I wonder who that was at the door.
Oh, there was a
never
doorbell.
Rings at night, yeah.
Huh. I couldn't hear nothing.
Blizzbob says, the way that the simulcrafting system works is annoying. I tried to cook 20 cocoa frags and got to use 16 of them before the chef exploded. Ideally, in critical situations like that, the game should look at how many operations the current chef will perform before exploding and make the corresponding number of N dishes. No.
Wow, really?
That is... No. We're not going to do that. That is... Like, I see what you want. You want, if you have... You know, let's imagine you were multi-crafting a bunch of really, really sticky spider webs, right? And you had a bunch of spider webs. What you would want is for the game to make two really sticky spider webs, then make a really, really sticky spider web, then make two more really sticky spider webs, then make a really, really sticky spider web. But that is an absurd waste of resources. If you're going to make something, just be careful or have an extra chef in the box on hand. You know, if you're making 20 cocoa eggs.
You should have access to
get another chef in the box, you know. So just like,
which you can also click with one click now.
You
can just make it.
Yeah,
you have the parts.
If you have all the meat paste.
Yeah.
Sweet. See, we got your back anyway, Blizzbob. Gecko 25 says, "Hey, I played the MMG and pissed away 500,000 meat. Please improve my odds, thanks." Let's see. Let me go into the globals table and turn off the Gecko 25. Lose flag. Okay, there you go, Gecko 25. Your odds have been improved to 50-50. Pobblebunk says, I agree about fedoras replacing personality, but while I hate them, I wear a big leather one at work to avoid having my head set on fire by sparks. This seems like a valid use. That is true.
You know, fedoras as functional elements are cool, but the people who wear them as functional things versus the people who wear them as personality replacements are vastly outnumbered.
Gleeb says, going back to Monday's show, I am fedora guy, Ubuntu guy, and that guy with hair down to the middle of his back. I know! You have three replacement personalities, Gleebs. And
wait, Ubuntu is also a...
Yeah, it's making fun of people who use Linux instead of having a personality.
Didn't you have hair down past the middle of your back?
Yeah, hair past the middle of my back. I cut it off, though. Now I look like Prince Valiant. Or Prince Valium. Pat McCrotch says, when crafting with the plunger / inbox, could you make it so the ingredients you last used are static instead of reverting back to select an item? It's a huge time saver when crafting multiple things with the same base item, and the regular crafting, presumably he goes on to say, works like that now anyway. Yeah, that should probably happen. I don't know if those things got changed as a result of the... I don't know if they're taking into account, like, if we put a code block on a combined recipe now, you know, like the thing that says when you meat paste a meat tank with a meat stack, if it, you know, gives you 10,000 MP.
What?
Yeah, if it would work. You did it with the plunger. Doesn't
I believe the plunger is not yet ready to roll in terms of...
Yeah.
But that's on the list. I think making stuff work with the plunger is planned.
Weird. Cuttlehut says, Dear JNS, while normal non-combats cannot be clicked by the combat bars 1, 2, 3, etc., choice non-combats can. It's frustrating to click quickly through, say, the castle and suddenly find one has managed to turn the wheel. Can it be changed so that all non-combat... I don't understand what you mean by clicking a non-combat.
Well, I mean,
in this context.
So you have hotkeys.
Right.
So you can, like, the choices are, you know, you can...
Right, so if you're accidentally like, oh man, I need to hit this wheel with my stream of sauce, which is mapped to number one, you're accidentally choosing the first option. Because, I mean, basically what you would want then is for that feature above choice adventures to be removed, and I don't think that that's a good idea. I think maybe you should just...
So normal non-combats cannot be clicked by the 1, 2, 3.
What does that mean? What does it mean to click a normal non-combat?
I don't know. Adventure again is that with the back tick?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to imagine a case where this happens. Maybe.
I mean, because if you just hit the back tick while you've got a choice adventure up, I'm assuming it doesn't do anything. I feel like that would be really bad behavior if it did.
Right. Yeah. I don't understand what kind of problem you have. Quickly through the castle. Find that you've managed to turn the wheel. Yeah. I mean. Yeah, I don't understand. I guess if you're one hit killing everything with just one back tick, I can see that you're you might have that problem. But I think you
I mean, unless he has Adventure again mapped to 1. I can see you doing that, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, maybe that's, yeah, that could
yeah, if you have Adventure again mapped to 1, and if you don't know about the backtick thing, which I have no idea if that's
documented
anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, just use backtick as Adventure again. Yeah. That might solve your problems.
Gecko25 says, isn't it getting sort of embarrassing that you've left a quest obviously unfinished for almost a year now? I'm ready to see some epic hats again. You obviously haven't been around very long.
We are not subject to such petty embarrassments.
Well, Riff might be. It's Riff's fault. That, you know, he has been making steady progress over the last few weeks on the Nemesis quest. Well, as soon as it's done being designed, it's still got months of implementation.
I would say months. Weeks. We've got fire under our balls.
That's true.
To get stuff done. We're kind of excited because the pretentious artist is going to come move his sort of day-to-day operations into our office, and so it should be... I feel like the office will be sort of nice and sort of energetic during
a lot more work
every day.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that I'm there every day now sort of for the foreseeable future helps, I think.
It's so clean.
Yeah.
The office is clean
we've
and
been,
functional.
We've been trying to make sure that there aren't just tons of stuff littering around. We kind of cleaned it up before con.
Yeah.
We were afraid that it was just going to be sort of swarmed by people.
We managed to not get it swarmed by people at con. We did a reasonably good job of
dissuading.
Really?
People.
Yeah. I mean, not even really that. It just kind of didn't happen.
Well, yeah, we weren't even there to really be.
Yeah.
To be approached.
We had always had people staying there for previous cons, and that you know just it didn't. So people would have parties or whatever. You know, there would always end up being parties at the office.
That's true. I kind of wonder how people felt about this con. I don't know if we've gotten a lot of feedback from people or not.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should read the forum thread post-con, because I haven't looked at it.
Werebear said he had only heard good things.
Okay. It was just, the vibe was different than previous years, and it was sort of more mellow, but, like, I kind of had more fun this year.
We had a lot less to do.
I kind of like having it be mellow, you know?
Yeah.
We had a lot fewer things to sort of rankle.
Yeah, which was nice. I mean, we still had to, you know, we were still running around a little bit, but honestly, like, running around a little bit as an excuse to kind of get out of the crowds for a while is nice.
Yeah.
Spleenmaster says, Jick, if you dream about your screensaver, does that mean that you're an android? Kinsoto says, to keep with the familiars using equips trend, you should create a pantsless traveling gnome that uses pants. If you don't want to go with the trend, the gnome would still be sweet. Just a pantsless gnome that teabags your enemies and heals you after combat.
I don't want to know how he heals you.
Yeah. The Dark One says, as to old traveling trader items, I know there are a lot, but a great deal of those are in collections, and what's available in the mall are high priced. I think people worry the bananas and potions will never come back, and therefore don't use them or part with them, and they just sit there because you guys always say there are plenty available. What kind of usage do they see on a daily basis? I checked, just to see.
I would say hundreds or thousands get used.
Well, in the case of bananas...
Yeah.
Well,
because remember, the bananas have bunches turn into bananas.
Right, right.
Now, the bunches have not been...
Yeah, they really have not. I would say that dozens of bananas get consumed every day, but not hundreds.
Okay. I mean, there were almost... Let's see here. There were almost 200 bananas used, let's say, yesterday.
It's interesting how many more of the crafted items came into existence. Like we've got a kind of color field for in our item tracking for things that get to be more of them and things that there get to be less of them. And the crafting update definitely spawned a lot of bananas being turned into banana recipes.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean people assume and you know as far as I'm going to say, rightly so, that we're not planning on reintroducing bananas.
Yeah.
But you know, it is something to you know, maybe the way that you get your discovery page full is you make friends with somebody who's willing to hand you some bananas.
Yeah.
You know, and so you don't have to you either need economic power or social power.
Have any of the rainbow pearls been crafted since the crafting?
I don't know. I feel like that's so far out of... I don't actually know how many there were. Are they on this list?
Yeah. It's all in there. I mean, there was one for each of the Rainbow Islands. I think there were 13 or something. 11 or something.
Yeah. I think there were 11. Where do you...
It's down below all that.
It's down below, huh?
Pirate Islands.
Rainbow's Gravity. Nope, nobody has...
crafted any of those long time.
Any new ones. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah. That makes me happy. It makes me happy to see something that I put a limited number of in that since then there haven't been any dupe bugs or me fucking up and making goddamn violin cases drop in the arena.
That was so great.
That was really awesome.
Yeah, that was so funny. I think I got one or two of those. Yeah. I was like, huh, did you mean to have this happen? He's like, yeah, fuck.
Goddamn typo in that code. Excuse me.
It was like an off by one or two or something. It was like the next item was the familiar equipment or something. Did you want to have a musical entrelude?
Yeah.
I could stand to go get another beer.
Yeah. I'm gonna just bust some Alanis Morissette. I think just a couple songs because I'm enjoying the show.
All right. I just need enough time to cut some lines and drop them in.
Okay. Is 3 minutes and 41 seconds and then 2 minutes and 55 seconds enough time for that?
Yeah, that is enough time.
We'll see you after a couple of Alanis Morissette songs.
Woohoo! I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby. And what it all comes down to is that every man's gotta be fine. 'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one's giving a high five. I feel drunk, but I'm sober. I'm young and I'm underpaid. I'm tired, but I'm working. Yeah. I care, but I'm restless. I'm here, but I'm really gone. I'm wrong and I'm sorry, baby. And what it all comes down to is that everything's gonna be quite
my friends. Yeah. Is that everything? It's just my pronounce my name. You didn't wait for all the information before you turned me away. Wait a minute, sir. You kinda hurt my feelings. You see me as a sweet bad Lord and Father, and you got me all together.
My wife disappeared.
That's not cool.
She went to answer the door, and now there's nobody. There's nobody. Not only is there nobody at the door, but there's nobody home. Dr. Motive says, can we have an unleaded necklace for familiars that does nothing? Except reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Let's see.
If they just drank it. Oh, it's not a necklace. It's a necklace, not a beverage. Never mind.
Desert Tango says, what does Prelude of Precision do precisely? Everyone's too lazy to spade it. And it seems like a fairly obvious, given the sorts of enchantments that we were introducing onto things and what it's called.
Yeah, I feel like
it'd be that tricky to figure out.
I feel like we need to not take away all the fun for the spades by telling everybody how everything works, you know? And, you know, if there's something that's really powerful that people don't use because they don't understand it, it really makes me happy that some spade could be like, oh, wow, and like could figure something out and could just have this cool strategy that they could not share for a while and like dominate a leaderboard or something, you know, like.
Do you think that we missed the mark with those accordion thief buffs? It seems like
with the Hobopolis ones.
Yeah, because it just seems like nobody cares.
The passives are definitely valuable.
No, I'm just talking about the accordion thief one specifically.
The trying to
create an economy again by putting some limited cast buffs in there. It just failed. That doesn't happen.
Oh, like a buffing economy.
Yeah. And I don't really understand why.
It's tricky on accordion thief buffs though because you're limited to the number you can have. Right. I mean, they'd have to be really powerful.
I mean, I guess the stated sort of design aspect of those was that they would be the same as some existing accordion thief buff, but with additional bonuses.
right? Right. And I didn't end up doing that. I just did completely different things.
Yeah, see, I think if you had done that...
I mean, but I feel like it would have to be...
You know, if you'd made them good for farming, then, yeah, you would have.
You mean like the Ballad of Richie Thinkfinder, which is awesome for farming?
Sure, but...
So that's why I don't... I mean, the Ballad of Richie Thinkfinder is fat loot plus...
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever the meat one is.
I don't know. I feel like somebody who's trying to maximize their farming is going to use that, but... Whoa. Is that... I believe that is not mine.
It's not mine either.
Maybe
it's mine.
But I don't know that the tomes are rare enough. I don't know. I don't have a good sense of...
But that's the thing. What I was trying to do was create an economy. Even if everybody had it, there's still not enough turns to go around.
Well... Sure there are, right?
No.
If everybody has it, then you can cast up a day's worth of turns.
Well, a medium, like a middle class day's worth of turns. But
sure.
If everybody had it, still only the percentage of people who were accordion thieves at the time would be able to cast it. So,
okay.
You know, there's... I don't know. I feel like the scarcity... Like, we just failed at creating a scarcity of those buffs.
Well... If we had designed the game from the beginning with that in mind, I think it would have worked that we would have a buff economy still.
Right.
Because we didn't... It would have been interesting if every buff that people could give was limited. You'd sell your daily resource worth.
Yeah, it would be a good...
It'd be interesting to see how that would...
It would be a good multi-abuse tracking vector, too.
Yeah, that's true. It would change the game pretty fundamentally. I feel like, or it would have changed the pre-Ascension game a lot.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
This post-Ascension game, people tend to be so much more self-reliant that it's less of an issue if they're just in the Ascension cycle.
Oh yeah, G. Balco says, would it be possible to split up some of the potion recipes a bit more? There are 37 sorcerer potions in a row, and there's a natural split between advanced sauce crafting and way of sauce ones. Also, two minor cues. Why aren't spicy mushroom quesadillas? And I presume that was going to say Tex-Mex.
I don't know. You should note that the thing. We can fix that.
Can we do the potion? Like sorcerer potions and advanced sorcerer potions at least.
Yeah. I can take care of that tomorrow.
Okay.
The amount... this is something that's kind of unrelated, but, like, the amount of, like, work that gets created on any given day is kind of frustrating, because it's like I have a bunch of projects that I've been working on that I have, like, a lot of work to do. And then, like, on any given day, at least half the day is spent...
Coming up with new stuff to do.
Well, or just dealing with stuff that pops up. Like, I feel like the amount of time that I have on any given... Like, I've been staying late at the office just so that I'm the only one there... Just so that I'll have time to work on stuff that I like had, I've had sort of backlogged for a while.
Yeah. Well, your stuff sometimes gets behind more than
other people's.
I mean, yeah. We do a bad job of triaging, and you know what we ought to do is we ought to say, all right, on Fridays we spend the first half of the day dealing with, you know, interface niggles and suggestions,
right,
that come up on the radio and stuff, so that it's limited, you know.
And
but fuck, no, we shouldn't, you know.
we just have so little structure that sometimes it's hard to like do things in a way that makes sense, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, I think that. What I do kind of wish is that I wish that, you know, we're in the midst of a period right now where we have a lot of enthusiasm for work, but we're not adding any content.
Right.
You know. And I think, you know, what I really ought to do is I ought to just focus all of my efforts on getting the swamp out there.
Yeah, because not to sort of make it sound less impressive, but like the first installment of the swamp is not going to be like,
yeah, it's not
mind-blowing.
It is not going to even knock one of your socks an inch lower.
Yeah, it's going to be underwhelming to people who are like getting all excited about the swamp, but it is the first part of what will become a much larger deal. But the plan was to roll it out.
Yeah, the
slowly.
Plan was to have it be something that grew organically,
yeah.
Because that's, you know, that would, you know, theoretically we
it's a farm.
Yeah. NC Sorcerer says, we seriously need new pants, Jack. Right now, the best pants you can wear at any level are Liars and Travolton's new item of the month pants, I mean.
Well, I mean, I think it's okay that there are only two item of the month pants.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think we need to... But is that saying that the best pants are by far item of the month pants, and there could be there's space for better in-game pants?
It always surprises me how few pairs of pants there are in-game.
Pants are hard to make funny. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the word pants is pretty funny.
Yeah, pants are intrinsically funny, but...
But then lack of pants is also funny. It's so confusing.
Bobulus says, the Hardcore Channel was bitching last night, so I'll preemptively say that I really like the new item of the month. Cool idea. P.S. I think a cool idea for a clan dungeon would be a dungeon of rejected dungeon ideas. Fernsworthy surely flushed down the sewer various monsters as too terrible / terribly stupid, and I'm sure they've been breeding and mutating down there the whole time. Let's see. Fred Levi says, so we have items that give you skills when equipped, but would there ever be familiars that gave you skills? It'd be cool if there was a familiar whose primary action was to do combination attacks with the player activated as skills or something. I mean, a familiar that all it did was grant you skills is basically just another piece of equipment that
right.
you can't wear if you have a familiar.
I wonder if we could have some generic familiar equipment that gave you some kind of combo skill with that familiar, like a trapeze or something.
I've often thought that it might be cool if, the game would have had to have been designed like this from the beginning, right? Where you and your familiar are basically like a party, so every familiar has
some kind of dance music.
Yeah.
That's, a two-person party is kind of lame.
Yeah.
Go on.
That there would be two drop-downs, one for what you did and one for what your familiar did, basically.
Oh.
So combat familiars made different attacks, and, maybe the familiar also had a mana pool or whatever, but that would be such a pain in the ass to retrofit. With
right.
fucking 100 familiars,
Are there 100 now?
They're in the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was your favorite decade of familiars?
In another game, I think that'd be a cool kind of thing.
The familiar space in KOL is interesting enough that it warrants its own game, kind of, That could be a whole separate thing.
Yeah, I mean... We had tossed around the idea of the dungeon that your familiar crawls through, and I think it'd be possible to design that in a way that it could be retrofitted on the KOL, and it would be interesting.
Like as part of KOL?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, just in the dungeon full of dungeons, a little
familiar dungeon.
Yeah, a little familiar roguelike dungeon that you.
That'd be cool. People would dig that.
Yeah. And it'd be a way to we'd have to do it in such a way that when we added a familiar, it would be easy to give that familiar abilities that would work in there. I have this sort of
what about a
ghostly framework of an idea for it.
What about a familiar dungeon that was the same dungeon on any given day for any given familiar, but it was different for each familiar based on some sort of hash algorithm or something?
Yeah, like a daily dungeon for...
Yeah, for each familiar type.
Familiars. Yeah.
So it was rewarding you for having, which is you could go through it once each day per familiar you had, if you wanted to.
Right.
Just kind of for fun and
That's the thing, I don't know what I would put in there. Right, do we put in...
Familiar treats.
Yeah, I mean, do we put in... We could do a lot of consumables for familiars, right? And if they were something, something useful enough to merit a pull. What I was kind of imagining was that this thing would... You would go in there and you would spend, five turns to play the game, right? And then, you'd run your familiar through. And your familiar would gain experience and it would, level up. And it would... The familiars would have to have some kind of skills. And that's the thing that suddenly adds a ton of content, right?
Right.
But figuring out a way to categorize the skills such that they could be defined in...
Clusters.
The familiar spindler, you could just say, okay, this is an attack 5 skill,
right.
or whatever, and it's called bite, and this is the text that it gives when you
right.
when you use it. This is a dance move or whatever, and
You know, just this is a smile. And then we have to come up with a bunch of challenges that you can overcome by smiling.
Yeah, that's tricky. But well, there could be, like, there could be encounters that you could either fight through or...
Yeah.
You know, smile away from or whatever.
I mean, you know, yeah. They could be, you know, a smile could just be, like, you know, this sort of charisma attack. The dance right. could be, like, an agility attack. And the combat familiars get, you know, winking. What do you do? I think that we could probably come up with something fairly cool, but it's just a matter of how do you tie it back into KOL? You know, how do you create that, like, this is the same game, but I'm doing something new sense that Clan Dungeons created?
Yeah, that I don't know.
You know, I mean, it only now just occurred to me, you know, you could put meat in it as a reward.
You
know?
We could have... A familiar clan dungeon. Clan familiar dungeon.
Huh.
Where you effectively were partying up your familiars to go down there.
Huh.
That could also work.
It would just be a completely different kind of mechanic. Like, that would be kind of fun. Just do it like a crazy choose your own adventure. Just maze of choice adventures that you got. But
based on...
Yeah, but the...
You assembled or whatever?
Right, but but I mean, you hadn't even assembled, you know, you'd just be, they would just be down there, you know, the choice adventure just says that it's your familiar, not you.
Right.
And then all of the logic and the choice, that's kind of a cool idea, actually. But, you know, you couldn't really, I don't know that I want to write, like, a new combat system for familiars, you know, I mean, it would be so much work to make it interesting.
Yeah. It's one of those things that we could do someday.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of content vectors that we're already ready to go on that we need to do.
We have so many big things to do again, you know? It's just...
Don't get overwhelmed. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be fun.
No, I know. The nice thing is having things that I can just be like, hey, C.D. Moyer, do this. I just have such a hard time telling employees to do stuff, and I don't have a hard time telling contractors to do stuff. I wonder what that says about my management style. When the commerce aspect of my business relationship with somebody is really on the table, you know, is just right in my face, then I am a lot more comfortable demanding things for my money.
I feel like if you sort of train yourself to think, okay, you know, I want this many hours of work out of somebody that's an employee.
Right. Yeah, but I just don't do that because it never worked like that, you know. And what I have left, you know. Yeah. What I have left is definitely holdovers of that, of it being really super casual, but everybody being really enthusiastic and working all the time, you know. So
right.
It's like I feel like we're in the same position that what sucks is that we're in the same position that like every time I've read a story about some awesome video game company,
yeah,
you know, like we're in the beginning of the end phase of the Atari story or the, you know, Sierra story or whatever, you know, where it's like. Suddenly, like, you know, and I was wondering, you know, what's going to happen when we're not coasting along with enough money to not have to think about it, you know?
What worries me is that the web game space has become just incredibly crowded in the past couple of years. I feel like Kingdom of Loathing wasn't the first web game by any means, but it was definitely,
I feel like, early the first free-to-play really content-dense.
Yeah.
The thing is that nobody's making any games that is taking away the people who are really going to get into KOL, right? I think that we've got a real special kind of
say that, and I feel like there
nobody. I feel like no one is ever going to approach the sheer amount of writing that we've got in here in a free to play game. I mean, we've just got. I feel like in this particular arena, we've kind of got that World of Warcraft thing going on because we've been working on this and constantly adding stuff to it for 5 years.
Yeah.
Right? Which is why I'm nervous about the idea of making a new game, right? Because, like, having to...
Think of it as a nude game. If you just envision all of the players as naked.
Envision the entire game in their underwear.
Yeah.
And Naked Juice says, Schaefer the Dark Lord at KOLCon 6. I don't know anything about Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Yeah, I don't know anything either.
Glitterboy says, do any of you listen to Elliot Smith? He was an amazing singer slash songwriter who did a lot of self-harmonization on his albums. I recommend the song Son of Sam and I Didn't Understand, both of which you can find on YouTube. I saw the tail end of an Elliot Smith concert once, but I never actually heard any of his music. I know that he committed the most badass suicide I've ever heard of.
What's that?
He stabbed himself in the heart with a butcher knife.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a butcher knife?
Like a kitchen knife.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. One of the guys... I read all these MMO blogs, and one of the guys that writes one of them committed suicide this week. He was the guy that was, like, primarily responsible for the, like, new game enhancement thing of Star Wars Galaxies. Or at least the guy who was responsible for taking all the flack for it publicly.
But didn't we see him at... some point at
GDC
or something?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Okay.
They named Jeff Freeman.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
How did you find out about it? In some other blog? Or?
Yeah, the news of his suicide kind of reverberated through the blogosphere.
That's too bad.
Blogosphere. That's too bad that I just used the word blogosphere.
Yeah.
That's almost as sad as his suicide.
I'm still kind of upset about David Foster Wallace.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like he had many, many years of... ahead of him that could have been filled with just awesome creation. That's gone.
Manza says, when you click unequip all and it takes off the familiar equipment, the Hatrax image doesn't change in the left pane or in combat. A bug? Yeah, that is a bug. These familiars are fucked up. Let's see. To Rattlesnake says, tenure is a freaking awesome word. Use it on your show. To Rattlesnake wrote, tenure is a freaking awesome word. Use it on your show. Weapon rack is freaking awesome. If I decide to do a final BM run for a last bludgeon, I'm going to hug you with a knife in my hand. Another person, War Junkie, asking him about for an option to have the different sections of the crafting discoveries be hidden by default. Hatchet King says, can we get crafting discoveries for which we do not have sufficient parts grayed out? I think that I'm going to do that. I think that I'm just going to make that the default behavior of the interface.
Yeah, I don't know why that isn't...
Yeah. I just didn't think of it.
Okay.
Or I just didn't want to rip off 12 cents.
Oh. The parts are grayed out.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a direct 12 cents ripoff.
Okay.
I have to say that it is... Somebody sent me a chat PM saying they felt that it was confusing the way that that's laid out, and I kind of agree with them because I felt like it was kind of confusing in 12 sands. If you have 10 wads of dough and 10 pie tins, it kind of looks like to make a pie crust you need 10 wads of dough and 10
pie tins,
right?
Yeah.
You kind of, like, you know, in a World of Warcraft recipe, it's just, if there are numbers beside the items, it is not the number that you have.
It's the number that
takes. They do that weird, like, the number you have slash the number you need for the recipe, which is a definitely non-obvious. I figured it out and eventually came to appreciate it in their crafting interface, but I don't think it's a good idea.
I mean, it would cost a lot more screen real estate. But because it's always just one and one,
yeah,
it could say. I mean, one thing is because it's one and one, we don't necessarily even think about the fact.
That's the thing, and I think because it's one and one, basically everybody understands.
Well,
that,
but everyone understood it under the old crafting system.
Yeah, but
I don't know that
the new crafting system. They don't ever see the discoveries page until they've discovered something, right?
Well,
and you don't get to specify quantities of stuff.
But you could theoretically play the game, go to the library,
right?
And something could populate your discoveries table.
But it says in the text in the library, if you cook a blank with a blank, that you get this item.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's...
Oh, what I was going to say is you could, you know, at the cost of a lot more text on that page, say this thing plus this thing, and instead of just having the number after it, you could say you have X.
Yeah, I hate that. It'd be so messy to have that just hundreds of times on the screen.
I'm just saying that that would... You could have also an example somewhere. I don't know.
Kane says, how come fumbles don't get damage / weapon bonuses applied? Crits do. Shouldn't fumbles also? Do crits... Do crits double the bonus damage from weapons?
I forget.
I don't think that they do. I think they double the base weapon damage plus the extent to which you... Or maybe the extent to which you out-muscle the monster. But, yeah, the thing about that is... The same reason that dual wield isn't two attacks, and the same reason that when your disembodied hand attacks with a sword with some hot damage on it, that attack doesn't have the hot damage on it. The way that the equipment enchantments are processed, the way that that stuff is structured... The player object doesn't know where those bonuses are coming from. And that was a frustrating thing. When we were talking about putting in dual wield, it was like, I'm not totally satisfied with the way that we ended up doing it, but it was the best way given what we had to work with. Like, if you are dual wielding, it would be way, way too powerful. If you had, like, you know some semi-rares and stuff, and you have plus 300 hot damage on you. If you were to get that on both your main hand attack and your offhand attack, that would suck, right? So, is a hat that gives you plus damage, is that only applying to the main hand? So we just decided to make the main hand and the offhand do the same damage, and they will do damage at the same time. Like, there's basically just another...
You're just swinging two weapons at once?
Yeah. There's another little indicator of the additional physical damage caused by the offhand weapon. You know, the primary value of dual wield isn't getting the enchantments anyway. It's not getting the additional damage. Just because the base weapon damage is so low compared to the amount of damage that you actually do in practice when you're fighting in this game that it's like, well, it's, you know, one of those sentences I don't finish. Giuseppe says, a way to disable the graying out of unusable skills on the skills page, i.e. they show up normally and you get the you don't have enough MP message. I don't really know why anybody would want that. Double Zero Z says, it would be cool if you implemented a disease called dog mode, which first appeared in the game called Rise of the Triad. I remember Rise of the Triad. It was... I don't know why you never hear about it. It was a fucking amazing first-person shooter that came out right after Doom.
Huh.
I think that they faked it, right, but the way that, like, Marathon faked it, but it was one of the first first-person shooters that you could look up and down, and...
Marathon faked it.
No, that's not the thing I was talking about. There were points where the geometry of the level crossed over the top of itself. There were, like, bridges over things, right, which did not happen in Doom.
In Duke Nukem 3D, you could... There's a level editor. You could construct a level such that you had one tunnel curve around on itself, like a figure eight. You could be occupying the same space, but not be able to see another player because you were in a tunnel going like northwest, and he was mm-hmm. in a tunnel going east, like east west, north south, and east west, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear each other, and if you could, like, you could like like the sound engine was still working because you're like, you wanted to be able to proximity things, I guess, but you actually couldn't interact.
Huh.
It was interesting. We built all kinds of weird... It was like a summer where we built all kinds of crazy Duke Nukem levels. We built our entire fraternity house in Duke Nukem.
I believe Rise of the Triad came out before Duke Nukem 3D, but after Doom. It was a lot of fun. Like, I got a copy of it from my dad, and he played the shit out of it. And I played it a little bit, but it had, it had a cheaper... for God mode, and then it had a cheat for dog mode where you just turn into a dog and you're around biting Nazis. It was also, I think, the first FPS that would allow you to pick up two pistols and dual wield pistols, which was just fucking so satisfying.
That's cool.
It had a lot of destructible environment stuff, which was cool.
Duke Nukem 3D was very satisfying.
I played it once on Christmas, and the loading screen, everybody was wearing Santa hats. And the music was different for the entire game when we were playing it on Christmas. And I remember being so impressed by that. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And yet, you'd never heard of the game.
No.
You know? And that's just weird. Because, even if you weren't into PC gaming at the time, you'd at least heard of Doom.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Anyway, it was a fun game. Thank you for that little jaunt down memory lane.
It's interesting to me that Doom is still, like, people still port Doom to different things just because it's interesting, right? Like, they'll run Doom on their watch or whatever, you know? Like,
there was a Doom... The one phone game that I ever actually played seriously that was actually fun was a Doom RPG that id Software ported to telephone. I played it on my wife's phone that she had at the time.
She's still missing?
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck. I'll have to go look for her in 20 minutes when the radio show's over. From DZ says, can we have a chat command that tells us what outfit, including custom, we're currently wearing? Is it having slash outfit work like slash clannies? Thanks. No, there is no real... I mean, I suppose we could write something that would tell you which of your custom outfits you were wearing, but there's no current native functionality for it. It would work for normal outfits. Wave Dash says, make Black Cat less bad for us the heavier it gets. No, it should get worse the heavier it gets. In fact, I'm going to go do that right now. A man says, when tattered scrapping monsters in the heap, I seem to get the same hobo name every time. Yeah, I think the hobo name generator is based on your turns played.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's rough.
It isn't really, though, because you're running away and just finding the same hobo.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Faux shizzle. I'm surprised you don't do stuff like that based on, like, a timestamp or something, like...
Well, you couldn't do it based on the timestamp, because the timestamp doesn't stay the same throughout multiple rounds of combat.
It doesn't set... Right? It doesn't set magic.
It should have just say... What I should have done, and later on I did this, I should have just started saving the hobo name as a fight property, but I didn't add the fight properties array until after we were already... After the hobo name generator had been written, right? So, yeah, it's like... I constantly have this feeling like, man, if I had only known 2 weeks ago what I know now, I would have done everything so differently. Like, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to keep getting awesomer and awesomer with every passing day.
Well, just hold, better the, looking, hold the Y button, and you'll just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a little braid joke for, Gleeb says, you do have asymmetric.net sitting over there for your blogging needs. That's true. But then, if I was blogging on asymmetric.net, I'd have to blog as all my, which, you know, might be interesting.
It'd be an interesting exercise for you to sort of hone your writing skills.
Yeah. Durdrum says, I would love to see a Ralph Wiggum reference when you rest while wearing a Viking helmet. Also, that item should totally make you good at doing stuff, since that's totally what being a Viking means.
That's funny. I mean, that's funny enough that...
Yeah, it's super kind of meta.
Do people constantly do just usernames that are words backwards?
Like, I don't know.
Like Mordred.
I mean, I wouldn't say that Durdrum is a word backwards.
I mean, Mordred's a pretty common...
GigaShadow555 said, is Nightmares Abra, Abracadabra, and Rabababow a reference to anything? It sounds vaguely familiar, but I could just be crazy. Well, Abracadabra is a story. It was a story that I told. I don't remember if I talked about this on the radio or not. I bet I did.
I think you mentioned it, but I don't remember.
Yeah, no. There was this goblin that originally wrote Steve Miller's song, Abracadabra, and that's what it sounded like. The Rabababow thing was... I had it's awesome. Every time I figure out something that annoys my wife, I will do it all the time, and then when Nightmare comes into town, he will help me refine it as an annoyance technique. So I had gotten into the habit of doing this thing where I'd be like, honey, check out my awesome human beatbox skills. And just, you know, try to do the worst human beatboxing that I could, and just like I just totally didn't understand how human beatboxing worked. Not that I do, I guess. but then Nightmare just transformed it into like,
so you kind of just voiced.
Yeah, he just made it a voiced alveolar annoiative rather than an unvoiced one.
I like that there could be just a linguistic analysis of your various annoyance techniques. No Hurt Me says, I've been scanning the Community of Loathing photo gallery. Apparently all the girls that play this game are really cute.
At least the ones that want to show everybody pictures. Or they find, like, or they find the most attractive possible picture of themselves, or they find the most attractive possible picture of some other girl and post it so they can convince people to get them stuff. Or they're a dude.
Yeah.
Another Princess Derek.
I feel like there are a lot of people who are not as confident about their appearance who just would never submit a photo to that community thing like that. You know, like the people that feel good about how they look will submit photos, or that they have a photo that they like of themselves, they'll submit a photo. If you don't have a photo of yourself that you like, then you're just not going to do it, you know?
You telling me about the origins of hotornot.com was interesting.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners the story?
Well, it was just like the Hot or Not that I first encountered was a website that was a fraternity based sort of thing about MIT girls.
Who pro tip for the listeners? Most MIT girls not super attractive.
So, and then apparently,
hey, but at least they're really socially awkward.
Yeah, that's true. They're smart as hell, though. You know, yeah. That's cool. Smart makes up for a lot of things.
There was that one you dated that now is, like, all naked on the internet. Was she an MIT girl?
Wait, who?
In the guitar thing.
Oh. We never... Well, I guess we dated briefly. No, she was not an MIT girl. Hmm.
She was pretty attractive, but she was not an MIT girl. See?
That's true.
Evidence.
Yeah.
Sorry, all the MIT girls that... I know. They're probably going to be mad at me. It's a mystery hunt this year.
You also have not... You've not seen a lot of... I mean, you've only
That's
seen
true.
A very
I'm only,
small...
I'm only there during the time when the people who are really into, like, working on stuff are on campus.
Well, and puzzles and stuff. I mean, that's a limited subset of them. There are sororities, and they tend to be filled with, you know, more attractive girls than aren't in sororities.
The problem, you know... Even when there was nobody on campus at ASU, still could not turn your head without seeing 10 hot girls.
It is strange. Like we posted for the concert at ASU, and it is strange just how many, like, sort of almost look like models style, like, appearance girls are running around.
And like models, like women who get their pictures taken for a living, not like, you know, like little Death Stars that you glue together.
Yeah. Just to clarify.
Yeah.
it's bizarre. Almost everybody that has come into town from out of town and has gone downtown has been like, what is the deal with ASU? Somebody explained it to me that, like, this is where all the girls from, like, LA, this is where they all go to school out of town so they can say they went to school not in LA. College. Is that close enough that they can go home?
And they're all freshmen.
Oh, are they? Because they never make it to summer.
Yeah, they get married off, or they, you know, they fail out or whatever. It's weird.
A lot of girls would go to, like, BU to find a husband. Like, there's I feel like there are a lot of colleges that traditionally...
They go to get their MRS.
Yes.
I thought that was a pretty clever joke the first time I heard it. Yeah, the size disparity between the freshman and sophomore class at ASU is huge because it's got this reputation as a party school.
Number disparity.
What?
Size versus quantity.
Well, no, the size disparity gets alarming. At least when you start getting into upper division classes, that's also a funny but mean joke that I won't make.
Do you think it's true for guys too, though? I mean, do you feel like
no, it's definitely not.
The more attractive guys drop out. I don't know, you're probably not paying as much attention to it.
Maybe, yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't... No, the thing is, I feel like because being attractive as a guy is more a mark of achievement and confidence, and I feel
like... Oh, is it like it has
and
like
I feel like
less
it's achieve,
to do with just their actual physical appearance?
Yeah, because, I mean, guys pretty much look alike.
I feel like the opposite. I feel like guys look pretty different, but... what is attractive to any particular girl is going to be very different, whereas guys have a lot sort of narrower definition in general of what's attractive.
But, I mean, I feel like women just don't really choose... with women, the physical appearance is just not that important.
I don't think that's true.
I mean, maybe to those bitches it is. Like, the sort of... I don't know. I honestly feel like the people who are going to ASU to find a husband are looking for a husband who's about to inherit their dad's car dealership rather than, you know, a husband who is like, you know, a sensitive artist who,
sure,
is, you know,
maybe. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to like, if you're spending money to find a spouse, you're probably looking for somebody that's going to recoup that, you know, investment or whatever.
Pantsless says, ThingFinder's limited casts make it too expensive to use for farming. Plus, there aren't enough people who have it to bother. No farmer wants to beg and trade for an hour to buy a buff.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Pantsless says, if the number of ThingFinder casts could be stacked by using more of the ballad books, then buff bots would accumulate them and probably standardize prices. Yeah, but the whole point was that I wanted them to be outside of the buff bot economy, so that's, you know...
But I think that's part of the problem, right? Because players are so used to being able to get stuff from buff bots, they're not going to go into the economy to get buffs, right? If we did the being able to record stuff onto discs and sell those, I think you would see a market economy for the rare buffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that you're right.
Did you see the question from Sirius?
Where?
It's, are we ever going to be rewarded for defeating the Orca of Time? Ever.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, yeah, if there's still a list of those, we came up with a scheme for rewarding people for con event victories.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright.
Because I just promised it to some dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're gonna do a tattoo.
Oh, that's cool.
I want a game at con tattoo, maybe just like a blue ribbon. I'll just draw like a blue ribbon tattoo.
We'll give it to the
people who won the Assassin game last year. We'll give it to the Varkalak tournament winners from this year. We can give it to the Orca of Time people. We also need to... I'm going to put you in charge of getting me a list of player IDs from just Con 5 attendees to do the
certificates.
Yeah.
Certificates.
Maybe we'll give them a sombrero or something.
Okay.
Is this 9:53? Bone says, you could call the familiar roguelike Kokobo's Dungeon. Yeah. Seppo says, the familiar dungeon space could be a top-down thing like the In Disguise Mine with a semi-puzzle style. That would be pretty awesome. No, it is definitely going to be a sort of standard dungeon crawl where you're, like, revealing the map as you move through it. That's the idea that I have for it, at least. And, man, just having a program that I'm totally comfortable just being like, do this. Do it the way I want it. I cannot masturbate to this. Make it again!
did Scully try to promote that as a new meme on the last show?
I don't know if he said it out loud, but I like it as a meme. I've been saying it at least every day. Boned also says, they think the best part of Rise of the Triad was the enemies that would beg for their lives, and then if you spared them, they'd regain health and attack you all over again. Yeah. Tellus R says, on the quick skills bar, I only have one cast in my inventory, and the MP restores bar is only 4 characters long, instead of filling the whole length like the skill dropdown. Bug or fae? Well, the skill dropdown has a bunch of grayed out skills in it, doesn't it? So, it's always going to be,
yeah, I don't know,
fairly long. Yeah, quick skills is something that I've never really used, so I don't really know how it works.
People have been talking about the Gray Plague. I guess it was like an October occurrence?
3 years ago, or...
But people have been talking about, like, why don't we have another plague or whatever.
Yeah, we just haven't really had an... We haven't really... That's the thing. We never sit around thinking about ideas for events.
Yeah.
Which maybe we should, you know?
You say that, and we've got an event in mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The kind of Crimbo lead-in.
Yeah.
That's not really an event.
Okay. Crimbo's going to be more of an event this year.
Sort of. Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's actually a real event.
Okay.
It's a to-do. It's a happening. The trees are going to attack everybody. Ooh. Did I just ruin that for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Let's see. Flushing questions. of the Hill People says, "Hey, I won at getting some at con. What item did she drop?" I'm guessing a wart.
What?
Yeah, got genital warts at con. I went to KOL cunts and go, and all I got was this lousy clap. I wonder how much getting lucky there was at con.
Probably some.
Yeah.
I feel like there was definitely some intermingling. I mean, the fact that people are basically spending a week, they get in on like a Tuesday and then like go and do stuff for a couple of days before con even starts, and then there's already a bunch of social connections, and there's all these different houses everybody has. You know, they're living with a bunch of people, and
they all become houses of ill repute.
Yeah. All these parties and stuff. I feel like it was a lot less, a lot less centralized in a lot of ways, because people would just do stuff.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice, you know, the fact that people have gotten so familiar and comfortable with it that they...
Yeah.
They're just ready to organize their own events and stuff.
That tendency is going to be good for us if we decide not to hemorrhage quite so much money on con next year as we did this year.
This year was very expensive. Kind of just like bled money.
Sort of like all three of the things cost as much as any con did in years past.
We
just can't keep doing.
We need to not repeat that.
That's rough. We would have had to charge... We probably would have had to charge $100 a person if we were actually going to break even.
If the same number of people would come at $100, which I don't think they would.
Yeah, I don't think they would either.
I think we still wouldn't have broken even.
What we need to do is buy our own bar.
Yes.
Have a music venue there.
Yeah, that would solve a lot of problems.
Yes it would. I'm going to, I'm going to see if Fusibon is ready. And... queue up something. People have begged for no more Alanis Morissette.
What?
No, that was the wrong.
Gleep says this game is really, really good at getting me laid.
Gleep says that?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's cool.
Ah, good old Gleebs. Are you sure it's not your fedora? Or perhaps your knowledge of Ubuntu? All right.
Ubuntu could be anything, though. It doesn't, you know... Like, I don't immediately think Ubuntu. I think some sort of strange foreign knowledge.
Right. I'm a black belt at Ubuntu.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to leave you with... Fusiliban playing some... I don't know, video game music and shit. I don't ever listen. All right, we'll talk to you. I'll talk to you Monday.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Sunset Strip. I don't wanna feel the emptiness. Old marquees with stupid band names. I don't wanna go to Sunset Strip. I don't wanna go to Sunset Strip. I don't wanna feel the emptiness. Old marquees with stupid band names. I don't wanna go to Sunset Strip. On the forceps, the stone mason does all the work. The barber can give you a haircut. The carpenter can take you out to lunch. Now, but I just want to play on my panpipes. I just want to drink me some wine. As soon as you're born, you start dying. Go to hell.